This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from, in other words, Women's Books and Resources, your local nonprofit feminist bookstore and resource center, offering community space, events, gifts, tools for the revolution, a comprehensive collection of women's writings, and more, located at 3734 Southeast Hawthorne and on the web at www.inotherwords.org. Also, Awaken Media presenting The Real Dirt on Farmer John, a film about the true story of a maverick farmer, John Peterson's hero's journey of life, love, death, and sweet potatoes. Opens Wednesday, February 1st at Cinema 21. Information at TheRealDirt.net. Stay tuned for Press Watch.
That jingly sound tells you it's time for Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and thank you, engineer. And I'd like to dedicate this program to the fearless anti-imperialist fighter, Shafiq Handal, who died of a heart attack earlier this week in San Salvador, El Salvador. Handal was 75. He had been head of the Communist Party in El Salvador since 1972 and was known for his fierce defense of the Salvadoran people against U.S.-backed death squad monsters like Blowtorch Bob Dabuisson, friend of Reagan and Pat Robertson. Handal could speak eloquently with a pen or a machine gun, and he will be missed. We'll talk about the real shape of things today and then invite your calls. Corporate mind control and hegemonic power, the level of manipulation and deceit in Republican-controlled Washington has grown to a fever pitch. The Bushites can feel their control slipping. You know, things are just not going their way, and although they have an astonishing control over the media and over what people think, there are so many little things undermining their stance. The plame gate hasn't gone away. Karl Rove is still in trouble for that, for outing a U.S. agent just to get back at Ambassador Joe Wilson for having the guts to say that the Bush administration's claim that Niger was diverting uranium to Iraq for a nuclear bomb was bogus. He said the truth, and then he had to pay. Funny how that works in the United States these days. The Bushites can feel that control slipping, and they have now added intimidation to the mix as Bush bloviates his way across the country, giving stump speeches for totalitarianism. You'd better like it, because he can spy on you, too. He can designate you an enemy combatant. He can have you taken away by secret police and you'll never be heard from again. It certainly isn't a mistake that the NSA has been infiltrating and spying on anti-war groups. It wasn't a mistake when J. Edgar Hoover did it either, and both secret police organizations know that their job is to intimidate dissent, and they do it well. If you believe in liberty and constitutional rule, you are surely the enemy of the state. I'm proud to point to two such enemies of the state. Librarian Kathy Glickweil of the Glick/Vile of the town of Newton by Brandeis University and the mayor of that town, David Cohen, they held off the FBI for several hours while the secret police agency tried to force its way into computer records at the town library without a warrant. So the FBI did get a warrant to investigate a hoax terror threat mailed to Brandeis, and the computer was duly surrendered per the law of the land as written in the Fourth Amendment, but the fascists are pissed off and doubtless plotting revenge. Say goodbye to your jobs, librarian Kathy, Mayor David. You've humiliated the G-men by demanding they adhere to law. You will pay. The Bushites have decided that there aren't enough secret police for their intentions, and so they've decided to create a new national force, evidently out of the... We're going to start using evidentially now. Is that a senior moment? Evidently, they decided to create a new national force out of the Secret Service, Treasury Police. This is from House Report 109-333, the USA Patriot Improvement and Reauthorization Act of 2005. You know, the improvement would be sticking to the Constitution and getting rid of the Patriot Act. But you can find this in the Thomas Guide. I'll actually try to put this on my blog later today. Presswatch.blogspot.com. Section 605, the Uniform Division, United States Secret Service. In general, Chapter 203 of Title 18, United States Code, is amended by inserting after Section 3056 the following, Section 3056A, Powers, Authorities, and Duties of the United States Secret Service, Uniform Division. A. There is hereby created and established a permanent police force to be known as the United States Secret Service Uniform Division. Subject to the supervision of the Secretary of Homeland Security, the United States Secret Service Uniform Division, or the USSUD, shall perform such duties as the Director of the United States Secret Service may prescribe in connection with the protection of the following. 1. The White House and the District of Columbia. 2. Any building in which presidential offices are located. And let's skip ahead to 11. An event designated under Section 3056E of Title 18 is a special event of national significance. What? Yeah. An event designated under Section 3056E of Title 18 as a special event of national significance. Now, thank goodness we live in the Internet age. So I found U.S. Code Title 18, subsection 3056, paragraph E, and it says, 1. When direct, I don't know why it says 1, 2, 3. I guess it just looks official. When directed by the President, the United States Secret Service is authorized to participate under the direction of the Secretary of Homeland Security in the planning, coordination, and implementation of security operations at special events of national significance as determined by the President. 2. At the end of each fiscal year, the President, through such agency or office as the President may designate, shall report to the Congress, A. What events, if any, were designated special events of national significance for security purposes under paragraph 1, and B. The criteria and information used in making each designation. I bet that zipped right past you. Well, okay. New Secret Service Police Force. What was that phrase? Special events of national significance. Well, it's not defined in this subsection either. It's just as the President may designate. And then he can designate any he wants. And evidently, he doesn't have to. There's that word again. He doesn't have to say anything about Congress till the end of the year. The end of each fiscal year. He'll send these new cops out. And then following. Under this proposed law, under the direction of the Director of Secret Service, members of the United States Secret Service Uniform Division are authorized to A. Carry firearms, B. Make arrests without warrant for any offense against the United States committed in their presence. I guess that means a law-breaking. At least I hope that's what it means. Or for any felony cognizable under the laws of the United States if they have reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested has committed or is committing such felony, and C. Perform such other functions and duties as are authorized by law. Yeah, so, new secret police, isn't that wonderful? Meanwhile, the media manipulation machine is in top gear. NPR constantly runs stories about how wonderful and humane our now deceased troops in Iraq were, how they cared about the people there and couldn't understand why anyone would oppose the war. Family members are invited to grieve on the air, praising their fallen loved ones. This sort of war support propaganda is old hat to everyone from Mussolini to Mao, and it relies on the time-honored manner of using truth to promote a lie. Of course, there were humane troops among the dead, and there were monsters, too, but the troops were sent there. This is, you know, the important thing is, and what this is designed to obfuscate, is that the troops were sent there to kill and to occupy illegally, and that is what they are doing every day. Not that you can tell on NPR news feeds, and I criticize NPR first because they're the least crude among the corporate embedded media. Then there's the rest of the pack who distinguish themselves not only by their fierce loyalty to predatory imperialism and one-man rule, but by their many crimes of omission. Here's an example. From The Advocate, and this will sound familiar because something similar has happened. I'll explain in a moment. Linked on rawstory.com, military discharges hundreds of medics under gay ban. Oh, yeah. Among the nearly 10,000 service members expelled under the Pentagon's anti-gay, don't ask, don't tell policy. That's 10,000. Over a 10-year period, hundreds have been medical specialists and officers. According to data released on Wednesday by the Center for the Study of Sexual Minorities in the Military, 244 medical specialists were kicked out in the period spanning 94 to 2003. The first 10 years, the policy was in effect. The data were obtained from the Pentagon with the help of Representative Marty Meehan, a Massachusetts Democrat who sits on the House Armed Services Committee. Aaron Bilkin, director of the center and an associate professor of political science at the University of California, Santa Barbara, said the discharges provide evidence that the ban is hampering military readiness. The consequences of shortfalls in medical specialists during wartime are serious, he said. When the military lacks the medical personnel it needs on the front lines, it compromises the well-being not only of its injured troops, but of the overextended specialists who have to work longer tours to replace those who have been discharged, end quote. So there you have it, and if it reminds you of something, I suppose it would be the fact that many military translators, especially those who specialized in Arabic, have also been kicked out because they're queer. And I don't know how I feel about that. It's like, I guess, you know, when the Imperial War Machine cranks up, it's a good thing, right, if it hobbles itself with its own jackass bigotries. Well, if you have comments or questions, the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I'm Teresa Mitchell, the transsexual terrorist, and I'm here on KBOO Portland. This from Prensa Latina. That's Cuba. U.S. peace activist Cindy Sheehan assured delegates at the 6th World Social Forum that nearly 70% of her compatriots in the U.S. condemn the war in Iraq and want their troops back home. Sheehan, mother of a U.S. soldier killed in Iraq, believes that is the current reality, unlike that of the start of the war when 80% supported the U.S. invasion of Iraq. The more than 2,200 U.S. troops who have officially died and the Iraqis' death toll standing between 100 and 200,000 have changed people's minds. The truth is that war is for oil and not against terrorism, and that view is increasingly prevailing, end quote. That's Cindy Sheehan talking to Venezuelan TV's En Confianza program. She said it was highly suspicious that Osama bin Laden is still free, despite U.S. President George W. Bush holding him as terrorist number one. And the international public should know that most U.S. citizens oppose the Bush war policy. On her reasons for becoming a war protester, Sheehan noted that she wanted to help other mothers avoid similar suffering. The peace activist described the Iraq War as one of treasons and lies in which Iraqi civilians and U.S. soldiers die without justification. Making reference to Bush's call to back U.S. forces, Sheehan said the greatest way to support them is to demand their pullout. They want to be removed from there, Sheehan said, adding that soldiers who fought in Iraq are currently calling for an end to the occupation at the World Forum in Venezuela. The struggle against war and in favor of peace is one of the key issues on the table of the 6th World Social Forum, gathering 100,000 delegates from 50 nations to Caracas, Venezuela, from January 24th to 29th, so it's still going on. Number to call for comments, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Now, speaking of the war, here's a blast from the past. This is from April of 03, getting on to almost 3 years ago, and it's titled, Is Iraq the Opening Salvo in a War to Remake the World? It's by Robert Dreyfus. Years ago, he wrote, for months, Americans have been told that the United States is going to war against Iraq in order to disarm Saddam Hussein, remove him from power, eliminate Iraq's alleged stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, and prevent Baghdad from blackmailing its neighbors or aiding terrorist groups. But the Bush administration's hawks, especially the neoconservatives who provide the driving force for war, see the conflict with Iraq as much more than that. It is a signal event designed to create cataclysmic shockwaves throughout the region and around the world, ushering in a new era of American imperial power. It is also likely to bring the United States into conflict with several states in the Middle East. Those who think that U.S. armed forces can complete a tidy war in Iraq without the battle spreading beyond Iraq's borders are likely to be mistaken. Once again, this is 3 years old, and you can tell partly by the... we were all dealing with this, you know, I guess not sufficiently... What's the word? Refuted. That's a good word. Another senior moment. You know, I'm pushing 50. I get to have a few of those. Not sufficiently refuted idea that Saddam Hussein was supporting terrorism, or that he had anything to do with 9-1-1, or that he had any weapons of mass destruction. All lies. But taken as part of the argument in this article by Robert Dreyfus from 3 years ago. Continuing with the article, I think that we're going to be obliged to fight a regional war, whether we want to or not, says Michael Ledeen, a former U.S. national security official and a key strategist among the ascendant flock of neoconservative hawks, many of whom have taken up perches inside the U.S. government, asserting But the war against Iraq can't be contained. Ladeen says the very logic of the global war on terrorism will drive the United States to confront an expanding network of enemies in the region. As soon as we land in Iraq, he said, we're going to face the whole terrorist network. And he includes the PLO, Hezbollah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and a collection of militant splinter groups backed by nations, Iran, Syria, and Saudi Arabia, that he calls the terror masters. It may turn out to be a war to remake the world, says Ladeen. Ladeen. Yeah, neoconservative extraordinaire. And when a planner like this says a phrase like, it may turn out to be a war to remake the world, he's playing dumb. I mean, he fully intends for it to be a war to remake the world. And that's why I brought this blast from the past, because here we are confronting Iran. And gosh, we have all these, well, we have this reason for attacking Iran, that they're supposedly making a nuke, and then we're supposed to be afraid of the nuke because they're supposed to be so stupid that they would attack Israel even though they'd get hit with a couple of hundred nukes if they did, or they're going to attack the U.S. even though they'd get hit with a couple of thousand nukes if they did. And we're just supposed to believe that they're just chimps over there and they don't have any sense at all. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Iran is making a nuclear weapon. And if they are, then it's probably the same reason North Korea wants to make one. That is, if you've got a nuke, you don't need a delivery system. Someone invades your territory, they run the risk of having the army wiped out by one bomb. And that would be a nearly legitimate use of the thing. Territorial self-defense, and that's the sort of thing, the sort of power that just infuriates the imperial hegemonists in Washington. They can't stand it. They want these people who they, you know, obviously assume to be inferior in some way. They don't want their racism challenged, especially not by nuclear power. But the number to call, 503-231-8187, and go with that first comment. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, those senior moments only get worse, believe me. I'm 63, and I forgot why I called.
Where am I?
I think I'm going to start listening to KBOO more often. I think my mind is scrambled on this whole Middle East thing, and I've probably been listening to the mainstream media too long. So
I think if I have three senior moments in a row, then I should speak like this. In the 10 days that have passed since... Okay, go ahead.
I suppose due to listening to mainstream media, I don't know. I am of the belief that there is a ideology... Islamic of bringing the whole world under their spell, and I don't really think my wife, for one, wants to wear a burqa, so I don't think we ought to go that way. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I also agree with a lot of the stuff you're saying, the global whatever it is, we're trying to bring our way of life to other people, cram it down their throats.
Well, that's the funny thing. That's the funny and ironic thing about Islam to me. It's like, you know, most people are not fundamentalists in either Islam or Christianity, but the fundies are remarkably similar, and they, you know, either side wants to push their religion down everyone else's neck.
They certainly band together. I mean, we bomb a house in northern Pakistan where supposedly a leader is... hiding out, and all of a sudden there's tens of thousands of people, death to America, all this kind of stuff, and it's kind of like this, what's that thing where the police all stick together, you know, there's, people tend to stick together, and I think when they start doing that, I mean, that's what you're fighting, and I was, all these things running through my mind, I tell you, it's scrambled. Many years ago, Mao Zedong wrote a book on guerrilla warfare, literally, and in that book he says, a guerrilla army cannot exist without the support of the local people.
Yep.
And that kind of blows your innocent civilian theory. And we're talking about collateral damage and innocent civilians, and that's who we're fighting. I mean,
I'm sorry.
A uniform army we're fighting. It's somebody's son goes out and...
Well, how do you define innocence? I mean, we invaded Iraq. We're blowing people up there. We have no reason for doing it.
I think North Korea is a greater danger than Iraq. I think we only invaded Iraq because daddy didn't do it, so now son has to go in and finish the job. Don't you think?
I think that they are a largely untapped oil reserve, and actually from the strategic viewpoint, over the long term, the invasion is actually working. We talk about losing the war in Iraq. Clearly we are losing in the sense of retaining political control, but... You know, they can just kill everyone else and draw that oil out in 10 years, and the oil hegemonists will consider it quite victorious. I'm going to go to the next caller, but thanks for your call. Remember, call 503-231-8187. This is Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and we're doing the news you're not supposed to know and your comments. So we'll go to the next caller. Hi.
Hello, are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, hey, I got another blast from the past on Michael Ledeen.
Okay.
He made this speech to the American Enterprise Institute. Hey, he's the holder of the Freedom Chair at the American Enterprise Institute.
Freedom, anyway, Enterprise, oh, good.
He said that every 10 years or so, the United States needs to pick up some small, crappy little country and throw it against the wall just to show the world we mean business.
I wonder if that's what his mom did to him.
I don't know.
Is that where it got started?
Well, speaking of the Ledeen family, he had a daughter working at the...
Michael!
The coalition, you know, the... whatever you call it, the green zone there, you know. When what's his name, Bramer took over, you know, he brought in all these young, kind of snotty conservatives from all over the country.
Robbed us blind.
Yeah, they did their little thing there, you know, padded their resumes by working there in Iraq and everything. And then Ledeen's daughter was one of them.
Yeah.
I think she was 28 at the time, had no experience really of anything, you know, but, you know, there she was. Anyway, that's a great quote, you know. That sums up the empire, in a way.
A war to remake the world, says Ledeen. Creepy.
Not going too well, you know. Gee, you're aware of what the election in Palestine is about.
Hamas, that's what it's about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they won big time, you know. Gee whiz. Anyway,
thanks
to
for
later.
Calling. I might have known that Perry would call in. If I say Ledeen or Wolfowitz or something, that wakes him up. Excuse me. Listening to Press Watch on KBOO, and your comments, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if I could put in a plug for a speaker that's coming on Tuesday, February 7th. Her name is Allison Weir, and she has a website, If Americans Knew, in which she addresses and exposes the media bias and covering Israel and Palestine.
Uh-huh.
She is going to speak twice on February 7th. The first time will be at 1 o'clock at PCC Cascade, and the second time will be at 7 o'clock at St. Francis, which is at Southeast 12th and Pine.
Okay.
And, again, she has gone over the coverage of newspapers such as the New York Times and San Francisco Chronicle, showing the huge imbalance and bias in our press coverage.
You know, that reminds me of something I've been thinking about lately, and... you know, pardon me for not having my thoughts sharply formed, but it's something like this. You know, we leftists and liberals and progressives, like to rely on logic, and we say, well, here's the facts, and here's what's actually happening, and no, really, these are good facts, and here's the reason why they're good facts, and we try to convince people, and that's good. I've got no problem with that. But the right wing goes by sort of tribal loyalty, and I think in the minds of the right wing, the most important thing for them is to be in with the tribe and to have that collective power and to have that sense of belonging, even though it's a bogus tribe and a fake tribe and one that eats its own members, it doesn't seem to matter. So that when we approach them with logic, they just sneer louder.
Well, it's interesting that Allison was in personal communication with the editor of the New York Times, and she had meetings, one-on-one, well, small group meetings, and pointed out this bias, and her topic was death of Israeli and Palestinian children, just the children.
Mm-hmm.
How can you politicize the death of children? And when she pointed out the discrepancies in their coverage, they said, well, yeah, it's there.
Okay.
And that was it. No correction, just an acknowledgement that
that's
the way it's covered.
Yeah, which is a variation of... Madeleine Albright's statement, which I can't quote here, but maybe you know what I'm referring to, that, you know, if we kill a million kids, well, it's, you know, that's the way it goes.
It was 500,000 Iraqi children dead.
Yeah.
Again, her website is If Americans Knew, and she'll be speaking February 7th.
Okay.
And I think it'll be well worth people's time.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And another caller, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. Man, the last time I talked to you, you were Steve.
Yeah. That was me.
Yeah, you were talking about Iran. And do you know about these Republicans that are all hooping for joy that Ahmadinejad is, you know, running Iran right now?
Ahmadinejad, the Bill O'Reilly of Iran.
Okay.
Our perfect excuse for creating a... sounds like we got quite an echo there.
Yeah.
You don't have the radio on, do you?
I don't.
We should have a delay going now.
I do not have a radio on.
Okay. Well, phone line. That's the way it goes. Yeah, Ahmadinejad. He's our excuse for blowing people up.
So everything is going right according to plan for the U.S., right? I mean, you know, they've been wanting to get in there forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's obviously several reasons for... are you using a speakerphone? There's something going on here that I can scarcely hear myself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, let me get off then if this line sucks. But, you know, just to say, you know, like... Zbigniew Brzezinski and, you know, the whole sort of chessboard and the plan that's been in place forever. You just see it all unfolding according to plan.
Well, I think you're right. I think that there may have been plans to invade Iran even before now that has somehow been thwarted. I guess things just aren't going well for the Republicans right now. And I'm wondering if the illness of Mr. Sharon... The comatose state of Mr. Sharon is going to hopefully delay that war even more.
Exactly.
One thing's for sure, we have got to mobilize against it. It's 9:56. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Good to hear you, T.
Well, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, the number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187. There's an article by Patrick Martin on WSWS.org. We'll pass on some of it. In the 10 days that have passed since the January 16th speech delivered by Al Gore in Washington, charging President Bush with trampling on the Constitution and his conduct of the war on terror, the former vice president has been alternately vilified, ridiculed, or ignored. There's been little serious discussion of his criticisms of the Bush administration, however, outside of their website, the World Socialist website. The substance of Gore's speech was the most sweeping indictment of the Bush administration by any significant figure within the U.S. ruling elite since Bush took office in 2001. He not only charged that the Bush White House seeks to exercise quasi-dictatorial powers over the American people, but he painted a picture of a judicial system and a Congress which are unwilling to challenge the presidential power grab and uphold the traditional institutions of the American constitutional system based on the separation of powers between Congress, the White House, and the courts. And that's where I depart from the article, just to say that following on the attitude of the right-wingers, there seems to be, I mean, things have advanced to the point beyond hubris, beyond arrogance, to the point of self-aggrandizing delusions. And we have heroes in the right wing who are known for their self-aggrandizing delusions and their ridiculous contradictions. For example, Bill O'Reilly claiming that he received a Peabody Award. Or Rush Limbaugh, you know, saying that illegal drug takers should be jailed and then getting caught amassing massive amounts of OxyContin, a heroin-like drug. The hypocrisy just doesn't seem to stop these tribal loyalists on the right. So what are we going to do with that? Ridicule them? I don't know. But we're approaching the top of the hour. Once again, KBOO needs your help to mail out our monthly listener guide. Come down to the station 20 Southeast 8th. That's just east of the Burnside Bridge in Portland. Come anytime today. I hope to wrap up about 4 p.m. and there's likely to be pizza or something of that nature. And good companionship for people who do that. And stay tuned, please, for a very interesting talk on what you should know about the World Trade Center.